I told him on credit that he just smiled. I'll never forget it.
Good morning, everyone. April Marie here, filling in for Jeff for one last morning before he returns tomorrow from his great American road trip. I tell you what, it's really beautiful, heartwarming to see where he and his family has been. Well, I'm pleased to bring on our next guest. We have State Attorney General Steve Marshall, who is running to fill the seat that will be vacated by Tommy Tuberville in the U.S. Senate. Welcome to the program, sir.
Oh, good morning. I hope Jeff's bringing you back a souvenir, by the way, of all the places he's gone.
You know what? I hadn't asked him that, but I should shoot him a message. It's been really fun and heartwarming to see him and his family travel around the way he has.
Nice to get away. He shares a love of baseball like I do and other sports. And so anyway, neat for him to be able to see a bunch of great venues.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, you are running for the U.S. Senate and getting a lot of support, fundraising going well. What are you seeing and hearing out there? What's been the kind of the highlight of getting out there and talking to people about what's going on? It's a different, you know, ball of wax from trying to leave Montgomery and go up to D.C.
Yeah, leaving Montgomery is always a good thing, right? No, it's been really exciting to be out and, like, been in places like Macon County and Fayette County, as well as Baldwin County and Huntsville just in the last couple of days. And really a lot of positive comments about what we're attempting to do. And I think the biggest thing for me, April Marie, is just folks who've seen me for the last 8.5 years. They know that we are a conservative fighter that delivers results. And I think folks are wanting to make sure that kind of we have that same mentality with our next United States Senator, someone that's willing to take on the tough issues, that's willing to push back against the Democrats and be able to speak really truth to policy in ways that matter to the pocketbooks of the people of our state and to the values and the principles that we uphold. And so really excited about not only what fundraising did, but when I see, you know, 50 sheriffs and DAs come out very supportive and endorsing me in this candidacy, and the conversations I've had with folks from rural and urban communities around our state that very much are excited about what we're doing. Look, we got a long 9 months ahead of us to be able to get around the state, but it's just wonderful to interact with the folks in Alabama and share a vision about what we can do.
That's fantastic. Well, we've seen some of, you know, obviously seen you in action, seen the success of some of what you've done. To me, one of the biggest successes is the way that you went to protect youth, and you took our fight, which was right here after we passed our own legislation to protect youth from the radical gender ideology and the children poisoning their bodies and their minds over lies and partisan ideological issues that should have never been involved with children. You took that fight from Washington, from Montgomery, from here in Alabama to D.C. and got a big win from the Supreme Court. What can you tell us about that process?
Yeah, and it's the beauty of being the Attorney General, like we're in Alabama, is because the people of our state, you know, give you the ability to fight the battles that need to be fought. And look, putting testosterone and little girls and puberty blockers and boys and, you know, God forbid those that want to use scalpels on kids to somehow or another change their body parts is just completely wrong. And despite the fact that we had, you know, woke medical organizations talking about standards of care that would have said this is what we need to do, despite the fact that we had left lawyers who were litigating these cases contacting doctors to say, change the language of your standard of care because you need to help our political agenda. And the worst, maybe of all, was the Biden administration, you know, reaching out to these international medical organizations saying, hey, you need to take off the age restrictions on surgeries for kids because you're hurting our political efforts to help the trans community. I mean, it's just offensive. And but for the fact that Alabama fought back, we would have never learned of what was going on within these groups. And what we were able to expose was, you know, legal, ethical, and medical crisis that has been not seen for, I don't know, ever before, but particularly involving our kids. And maybe the greatest compliment that I've ever been given was a conservative commentator who said the biggest mistake of the Merrick Garland time as Attorney General was suing the state of Alabama. And look, there were conservative voices like you that were willing to report on it and talk about it because that wasn't being done by mainstream media. And the fact that we were able to get our message out there leveraged what Tennessee was doing in a very similar case that just recently the Supreme Court decided that said states have a vested interest in being able to protect kids, that what we're doing, in fact, is completely in line with the authority of the state to be able to protect children. And look, I was really proud to see the concurrence from Justice Thomas, who is a remarkable judge on that court, to be able to rely upon the facts that we developed in Alabama to say that what we did is right. And then the other thing we did is to be able to pave the way for President Trump now to be able to be very aggressive with his executive orders, not only in girls' sports and girls' bathrooms where we've led the charge, but also relating to what's referred to as gender-affirming care. And even those blue states that want to still be able to authorize it, the president appropriately, and we defended it recently with a brief we filed this week, to be able to exercise federal spending authority to say, even in those blue states, we're going to disallow this from being able to happen. And I think as a result of what we've been able to do in Alabama, we've protected kids, not only in Alabama and in our nation, but even around the world.
It is a huge win. I can't say enough about and just having people realize how some of the discovery you got, having people realize how politically motivated this attack on children and teens was, because I don't know that people realize that. They have to have this. This is medically necessary. This has been, these guidelines are all based on science, and they're not. We've known they're not. We knew that this was part of an ideological, turf war where they were trying to just claim the kids and put the sets.
And remember that the lawyer who argued this case a few months ago for the left, he got on that bastion of truth, CNN, and said that a 2-year-old child realizes they were born in the wrong body. I mean, that's insane.
It is,
but it shows you the extreme nature of what was going on, and then had to backtrack. By the way, when that lawyer faced questioning from Justice Alito, that this story and narrative that they were sharing falsely for so long, that if you don't allow a child to go through this medical treatment, then the risk of suicide goes up. That was a lie.
It was emotional blackmail.
Acknowledge that. Yeah, had to absolutely backtrack from that and say that any discussion of that being the truth was wrong. And again, it's because of what Alabama did and the fact that we were willing to dig in and fight and had a really good team and really proud of the group here, we were able to establish where the truth was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was quite a thing. Well, I wanted to turn our attention. You and I talk a lot about Second Amendment. We have mutual friends at in this Second A space, and who absolutely adore you from your time at the Republican Attorney General's Association. This week, we saw President Trump do something that isn't Biden wasn't doing it. He is celebrating National Sports Shooting Sports Month. A lot of people, when they think of Second Amendment, they think, oh, you have a right to defend yourself. You have a right to hunt. Well, there's another big part of shooting and the shooting experience that people forget about, and there's competitive shooting and recreational shooting. What are your thoughts on having a Trump administration that actually values these constitutional rights?
Yeah, it's exciting, but we shouldn't be surprised because President Trump has been a stalwart supporter. But look, some of the earliest memories I have of being a kid was, and I think I've shared this before with Jeff, I'm from Atmore, my other side of the family's from Uri, and never forget granddaddy giving me a .22 rifle and walking with him and sort of the property of the farm that we had there in Uri and just learning to shoot a rifle and having a target and the challenge that existed. I mean, there were some of the great times that I spent with my grandfather is just in and around recreational shooting. And the fact that, number one, the president, we get sort of bogged down on the left talking about gun control. We lose sight of the fact of the recreational nature of what goes on with firearms and the fact that he's been willing to be able to highlight that and demonstrate that that's part of the Second Amendment heritage, I think is a really positive thing. But look, it was game on during the Biden administration.
Oh, yeah.
We saw ETF weaponized around, you know, bump stocks, you know, changing interpretations of statutes that had gone back for years. And, you know, we're excited, you know, even recently to be able to urge Congress to eventually pass a constitutional concealed reciprocity act that allows for, you know, that permits you get in Alabama to be valid around the country so that you're not going to be, you know, facing the wrath of blue states if you're exercising your valid constitutional rights. And so, you know, it's been, you know, a good spot for us to be able to be engaged from anything of pushing back when, like, the state of Hawaii wants to pass this very restrictive gun ban, and we argue on behalf of advocates for the Second Amendment to be able to say that's wrong. But you remember, even in the city of Montgomery, when Alabama passes a great bill a couple of years ago, they want to be able to somehow or another through a municipal ordinance say you're not going to do it. And
oh, yes.
We had to push back there. And so even in a red state like Alabama, we faced our own challenges. And again, in that area, we were successful. But yeah, it's a true treat to see the president's leadership in this area.
Such a good reminder, by the way, of how important that attorney general's office is. We had, so Birmingham released their inner city crime like plan. And a part of that plan is to opt out Jefferson County, is to, for local legislation to opt out Jefferson County from permitless carry. And you're going, well, look, Jefferson County isn't just Birmingham. You know, that's a lot of people in the state that you want to take away their Second Amendment rights. So we got to keep people in those positions. We need strong Second A supporters in Congress, and we need strong Second A supporters here in the Attorney General's office and in the legislature to make sure this stuff doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, is there anything you want to say to our listeners where they can find you online, where they can get more information about your campaign as you go about reintroducing yourself and talking about what you would do in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, Steve Marshall for Alabama will be out there online. We've got both Twitter as well as other social media out there on Facebook. Would encourage folks to go. We're all over the state right now and loving talking to the people about what we want to do. But look, it's also a thank you for me to be able to tell folks for 8.5 years, they've given me the ability to be a voice and a fighter for the people of the state. And that has been a remarkable blessing and a privilege, and just very, very grateful for what I've had a chance to be able to do.
Well, we appreciate you. We appreciate all you've done. Keep it up, and we will talk to you again soon. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. That was Attorney General Steve Marshall on the line as we talked about his U.S. Senate run. We're going to hit a break here. When we come back, we'll continue that conversation a little bit more. I have really been impressed by Steve Marshall. Just truly, genuinely kind man. So talk about that when we get back.
I'm a soul. Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door?